This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Always excited to be joined by Sal Capaccio, WGR, our Odyssey Sports sister station in Buffalo. And the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, where Sal had the chance to talk to Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And Sal, we have so many questions about your conversation with the coach, and we know that rookie minicamp is underway as well. We want to get your report on what you saw out of the rookies. Welcome back into the Sports Bar. What's going on with Sean McDermott? It feels like this offseason he might be a little bit more accessible. I mean, we've seen him kind of, you know, I don't want to say lighten up as a pejorative, but I mean, having him do snow angels after the Niners game and just, you know, clowning around a little bit during the combine. Are we seeing a new Sean McDermott here?
Well, yeah, but I do think it started last year. You know, I don't think this is new now. I don't think he's really more accessible right now. I think he was really kind of more accessible starting last year. I think he was doing more of these kinds of things. But that being said, you're right about it. I mean, he's been different. But it's been a year now. This was a big talking point last year at the media. We've asked him about it. He was even asked about it last year during the season. Like, Sean, you know, why do you seem like you're just, you know, you're opening up more and you're a different person and all of that. So, you know, what we got yesterday, it's always game day in Buffalo. Matt Bovey and I were just, you know, we were really thankful and we were able to do it. And background story is, guys, we were gonna do this during the owners' meetings. But Sean got, you know, caught up with his schedule and all that with being on the competition committee. And honestly, kind of think, okay, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. The Bills themselves actually reached out to us, and shout out to Bills PR director Derek Boyko, did a really nice job to kind of circle back and say, hey, we'd still love to do this with you guys if you want to do it. And we're like, yeah, of course, we'd love to have Sean McDermott on. And I'm so thankful we did it now instead of the owners' meetings. If we did it in the owners' meetings, it would have been about football, right? Okay, what do you think about the rules changes? You're on the competition committee. What do you think about the wide receiver room? That's not what we did. That's all been done. We just really talked football, life, philosophies, team building, you know, his passion for, you know, coaching and really trying to bring a championship to Buffalo was really, he shared some great stories. We learned a lot about him. So I do think you've seen a new Sean McDermott. I don't think it just started. I think that's kind of been something that's been going on for about a year now.
Yeah, Sal, it's a great listen, great get by you. And I would encourage anybody, because who really is Sean McDermott? We, you know, and it's fine. Like, he doesn't need to show a personal side when we get in the season, but this is something we really haven't. Like, learning that he likes to dance. I'm trying to picture what that may look like. You also asked him the question, all right, you know, Sean, like, how far do you actually see yourself going here? Might you, you know, kind of go a few more years, or are you going to be somebody like, you know, somebody that goes till he's 70 here in this league?
Yeah, and kind of caught him off guard with that question. And, you know, I don't think he wants to, like, put a timeline and stamp on when he's going to coach. That's not fair to anybody, himself or his employer or his family, anybody like that. But I think at the end of the day, if you listen to that answer, you listen to him talk about it, and he went in the weeds a little bit, but I think the takeaway I got was, like, I'm going to do this till I win a championship, and then we'll see, right? I think that's really what I got from that, which is I'm here to win a championship. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA. His dad was a football coach, and I've gotten to know his dad a little bit over the years coming to games. His dad and, Sean, I should say, has been coaching a long time right away when he, got out of William & Mary and got into coaching. He's been around some really successful coaches, and Andy Reid and Ron Rivera. He's had a lot of success. He's coached in a Super Bowl. He's obviously done what he's done here in Buffalo. So I think when you have that, a lot of times the shelf life for these coaches is so short, but when you have that kind of success and you are chasing a championship and it's right there and you haven't won it, it almost kind of fuels you to keep going for as long as you can.
Sal, I know that he's become somewhat polarizing with fans, and I know a lot of fans are grateful for everything Bean and McDermott have done during their time here because they pulled this team out of a drought and out of the doldrums into a consistent contender. He always talks about the culture. He always talks about the accountability. He did so with you and Matt on the pod. Do you think that that message continues to land in the locker room, especially after another playoff letdown in the AFC Championship game? Do you think his message may be wearing thin with some of the guys that have been around him a long time?
Not according to those guys. They believe in Sean McDermott. They believe in the messaging and everything he says. And I think the key word for me is trust. They trust him. They'll talk about that a lot, And I guess I would point to this as an example of proof of this. How many guys come back to this organization, even after a year, right? Like, Tre'Davious White gone for a year. Dane Jackson, what, 1 year, right? These guys, this isn't the first time that's happened. Mitch Trubisky gone for a year, and I know he wasn't here a long time. And I think that's because...
Sal, they need to work too, though.
Okay, well, they could go somewhere else. I mean, if they're offered contracts, right?
I mean, they could if they're offered contracts.
Sure. Are you saying the Bills are the only teams offering contracts? Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I don't think that's the case. Maybe. I guess if they're the only team negotiating against themselves, then they shouldn't be paying $3 million for Tre'Davious White, right? I mean, they can give him a minimum salary. But people come here. I mean, that's fine. You don't have to believe me. You can listen to them. We ask them this question. Like, why do you come back? Well, I love Buffalo. I love playing for Coach McDermott. Tre'Davious White specifically said, I have a special bond with him. I don't think it's wearing thin. And Sean himself says every year is a new year. Like, he is very aware that you can't always have the same messaging over and over. Now, are you going to have the same kind of expectations, the same rules, all those things that kind of go into, being a head football coach? Sure. But Sean will tell you every team is different. Every personality is different. So you have to treat that year different. So you're not going to, do everything the same and say everything the same all the time.
Yeah, kind of taking a little detour here on this and building off of it. When you recorded the pod, it was on the day that, hey, Gabe Davis got released. And I don't know if, on your show, but like certainly over here, Sal, it was kind of a topic where he debated and people felt strongly on both sides. Like, yeah, I would bring him back or no, like you want to improve. So, I mean, where do you come down on Gabe Davis coming back? Because after all, he was the team captain, but there are other guys right now that could certainly fill those spots in the wide receiver core.
Well, I could tell you that Gabe really loved Buffalo when he left. That was a financial decision. The team, I think, rightfully didn't want to offer him the money he got to go to Jacksonville. And Gabe, good for him, he got that money. That being said, I just don't know if it would work this time around. Now, if he were to come back, if both sides were interested, you're talking about Gabe Davis probably being a number four receiver. I don't know if that's really the role that you would want him to have or envision him to have. I think that there are things that they love. There are a lot of things they love about Gabe Davis. He did win the Iron Bill Award 2 years in a row. That is the award given to the hardest worker in the offseason. So DNA-wise, culture-wise, hard worker-wise, 100%. I think that they would absolutely welcome Gabe Davis back. I think, for me, this would be a football decision. They've already done enough at wide receiver, they feel, as we know from a couple weeks ago with Brandon Bean on with Jeremy White and, how that all went down. I think they feel that, they have a strong room. Now, that being said, I'll be the first to tell you, I mean, competition's great, and the Bills love competition. If you're Gabe Davis, though, are you looking at the Bills roster and saying, I have opportunity there, or can I go to Pittsburgh? Can I go to the Giants and Brian Daboll, right?
Yeah.
Also, guys, he did get released with a failed physical designation, so I do wonder what the injury situation is for any team to sign him right now.
Sal, you've been around the team a long time. You get the chance to talk to McDermott on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, and you can kind of sense his tone. Do you feel like there's an urgency – with McDermott? Does he have the luxury of time knowing that this window with Josh Allen, I mean, every year that passes, it's going to be harder and harder as he gets older and older?
I think the Bills have kind of showed you that they feel kind of that way by doing with this offseason with the extensions. I think the extensions this offseason, guys, were a direct reflection of them saying we have 5 years left with Josh in his prime. That's what it is. We've locked up Greg Rousseau, Khalil Shakir, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, each for 5 more years, right? 1 more year and then 4 years after that. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of them got the exact same deal, and then Josh's deal goes 1 year beyond that. Because I think the organization is telling everybody, we have 5 years to do this, to win at least one of these things. So I don't know if I say it's going to get harder because Josh is still really great. Mm-hmm. He's the MVP of the league for the first time. He could still be an MVP again this year. I don't know if it's harder, but I do think there's a window there that everyone kind of recognizes.
We're talking to Sal Capaccio, Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, Bills rookie minicamp, schedule coming out, and you know, listening to McDermott on your pod there, he likes routine. We all like routine when it comes to the schedule. Sal, I know they don't slip you the schedule in advance here. However, saw that you got this little tip from Patrick Hammer. Are we allowed to kind of connect dots that the Buffalo Bills might be on Sunday Night Football to open the season?
So what happened this morning was, I'm glad you asked me because I have an update on this. So Patrick Hammer, WGRZ, TV2 chief meteorologist here, NBC affiliate in Buffalo, he texted me this morning and said that the Today Show teased Josh Allen going on Monday. Now, we know this happens every year. Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, they always have like a football game reveal with a big person involved, right? Whether that's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, whoever it is. And it's something on their network. Well, that's going to start happening next week leading up to the schedule release. So we get word of that, tweet it out. I say, let speculation begin. Jeremy is talking about, I think it's going to be Cincinnati Bengals at Bills on Sunday night. Or someone else said, you know, I think, okay, Ravens at Bills sounds good to me, right? I don't know. But we all think Sunday Night Football week one is kind of where this is trending. It doesn't have to be. It could be a Sunday night game and, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend or Christmas weekend. It could be a Sunday night game in the middle of the season, but maybe a marquee matchup that they're promoting with Josh Allen. Okay, so later in the day, I got word that it is not 100% certain that Josh is going on the Today Show.
Oh.
So even though they did tease that is what they did. They did do that. That they are hoping to get him, and because he's in New York for something. But anyway, I guess what I want people to know is, like, that was said, and maybe they shouldn't have said it. You know what I mean? Because I think they're trying to or hoping to. We can still connect dots, though, right? I think we can. I'm not really sure. Like, that maybe that means the Bills are still going to be, like, why would they do that if they don't want Josh Allen? If he's not going to be on, I don't know. Ooh. If they're even thinking about having him, I guess. That's the way I look at it. Who knows? Maybe they want him on because he's in New York for Sinners, right? I have no idea if that's the case, to be honest with you.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm going to present to you another opponent, and Danger actually sold me on this one, because if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you can't open in Philadelphia because they're not on their schedule. They don't feel like a Monday night game. Sure, they could put them on 425. Sal, could I interest you in an AFC Championship rematch on Sunday Night Football to open the season?
I just think that's a game we need to play later. You know? Yeah, you could interest me. I'm right there with you, but with the marquee matchup. Look, if I'm NBC, Jeremy and I debated this morning a little bit of this in a different way, but if I'm NBC, I know I don't get the Eagles because they're going to open up on Thursday. So now I get a chance. If you said, okay, the Bills are going to open up Sunday Night Football week one, how are you ranking their opponents to do that with? Is it with Chiefs, Ravens, and Bengals? How are you ranking them?
Ooh, 1A, 1B, 1C.
Yeah, I mean, in that order.
Sign me up for any of them, yeah.
So Jeremy thinks the Bengals is like the hot matchup that they should have with Joe Burrow and all that. I'm kind of disagreeing. I think it's Lamar and the Ravens. Mm. I think that would be the divisional round matchup. You have the two guys who won the MVP the last 2 years. The Ravens are a hot team. I'm not disagreeing with you about the Chiefs. 100%. You're right that would be a great matchup. It just feels like that should be a game that maybe you play a little bit later in the season, in the middle of the season or in November or something like that.
I love the NFL, and I get a sense that they want as big a number as they can get on Thursday and Sunday night. I mean, it just feels like if you had a rematch of the NFC Championship to kick off the season on Thursday night and a rematch of the AFC Championship on Sunday night, you'd have a pretty happy TV partner in Peacock.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Bills are going to be featured a lot of places anyway. They're going to be featured on NBC, CBS, Peacock, Fox, right? I think the big question for me is that they play on Christmas. You know, there's been a lot of smoke about that. I don't know. I would tell you that as about a week ago, I was very hot on the Bills playing on Christmas, that I was like, okay, I think this is happening. Now we are here. I think I'm way less hot on that. I don't know. I like Mike North isn't telling me the schedule, as you said, but I do talk to people, and people give me their opinions about things they hear, and who knows who hears what that's wrong or right or whatever. But I would say that I have definitely shifted on from way in on them playing on Christmas to maybe not playing on Christmas from last week to now.
Yeah, so just to kind of refresh the rules here, how many times can the Bills or any team, what's the max number they can be in prime time? Part two of this, Sal, is it correct that even though the nation would all be watching on Christmas Day at 425, or for that matter, any other four, that's not considered a prime time game, correct?
Basically, right. It's so funny. It's like what the definition has changed over the years because there's so many of these platforms and ways to kind of count it. So I believe it's a good question. Actually, we didn't ask Mike this year on the pod, but we did in years past. I believe what he said on the pod in years past was you can schedule for five, but then you can also get flexed into another one. We've given you six. It might actually even be scheduled for six now because of the extra game, and then get flexed into a seven. That might actually be the case, but you're right when it comes to, yeah, if you're playing on like a, if you're playing on a Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's not. But I do think the night game on Thanksgiving counts, and like it would be the prime time on Christmas would count. There's a lot of different rules about this and how it does count, how it doesn't. You're right. Here's one I thought of today, and I haven't. This is the first time I'm saying this, guys. I actually texted this to Matt Bove today, but I'm going to say it on the air for the first time. I just went on WGR and I didn't even say this, and so you're hearing this for the first time. Have we given enough thought to maybe the Bills playing on Saturday night on Christmas weekend instead of Christmas Day or Christmas night? Because that weekend the NFL has games.
Mm-hmm. Huh. How do they send off the stadium as well?
Right.
I mean,
well,
that would be it.
To me, that's a captive audience, right? Like you might want for the last game, last regular season game. Okay, so Mike North did say, though, he kind of indicated they're not really too concerned about like the Bills in the last year of their stadium. The first year of the new stadium is much more higher on like their list of what they think about.
Sure. Okay. I'm also thinking about international games, Sal. I mean, I know Pittsburgh's hosting the game in Ireland. We don't know who their opponent will be until we get the schedule release. Are you hearing anything about the Bills traveling international? I know you're not going to tell us that you know where they're
What's the likelihood? I think at this point it seems less likely because the report today, I don't know if you guys saw it, was that the league might send the Vikings over to Ireland and then do back-to-back with them also going to London. That would take care of two of those games.
Oh, wow.
Because the Bills could potentially also be a team that could play in London against the Browns. They have them on their schedule. They could go to London to play the Jets. But, you know, that's a division game. It's unlikely. The report today is, someone had this, that the league might send the Vikings to Dublin to play the Steelers and then back-to-back London to play the Browns the week after that. And if that's the case, obviously it won't be the Bills. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I think the way the league is trending, they have basically said, we're going to start doing this with teams. We want to see how it impacts everybody and their bodies and their schedules and travel. It's kind of like, you know, experimentation on how this all goes. But they started doing that a couple years ago with the Jags. We know that. The Bills were one of those games. So I do think that it is very possible that happens.
Sal Capaccio, WGR Buffalo Bills sideline reporter and the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Before we ask you about minicamp, can I just say, and if we're doing a kangaroo court, can we fine Bove for not knowing who Ricky Waters was?
Disgraceful.
I have a tough time deciding if that is, as you say, disgraceful, or I'm just getting old and I should accept it.
Well, we are old. I mean, we all recognize that we're up there, and I don't know how much younger Bove is than us, but not knowing Vision,
he's
not
30,
knowing Vision Quest.
I know he's in his early 30s, though, right? Like, I mean, I'm a good. I just turned 52. I'm two decades older than him.
Sal, we men of our age. I think it's partially our duty to be educators. We've got wisdom.
Yeah,
we've got life experience.
I 100% agree.
And he needs to understand the importance. If Vision Quest is coming up in conversation with Sean McDermott, you can't not know about Vision Quest.
You know, I kind of agree, but I'm thinking there's got to be some movies from like the late 60s that if someone said to me, hey, you know that movie? And I'd be like, not really. They'd be like, what are you talking about? I mean, Vision Quest was the mid to late 80s. Like that, you know, it's a wrestling movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Madonna. It's our time period, right? I get all that. But for Matt Bove, I mean, he's like, I don't know. I mean, I started listening to the music in the 90s, dude.
But then Ricky Waters. I'm glad that came up. Danger, you know he had a
Am I right? You agree with
1,000-yard seasons, three different teams. Do I agree with you on Ricky Waters or agree about the slight I'd have
you
to
agree
think
with me that Ricky Waters is absolutely a Hall of Fame
100%. He's the forgotten guy, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like three different franchises.
Apparently, the reason is because he has that famous quote, for who or for what. Is that from him or was that from Vision Quest? People were tweeting me about all this at once. Ricky Waters apparently was like people hold it against him that he basically said like he doesn't play the game because he loves it or something like that. Like there's some sort of, and that's being held against him about getting the Hall of Fame. Either way, I don't care. Look at the numbers. Ricky Waters deserves to be in. That's why I believe. But as we go farther away, he doesn't have as much of a case because so many guys keep playing.
Yeah.
You go back and look at one time, it was like, I'm not kidding. I think the names were Marcus Allen, Walter Payton, Thurman Thomas, and Ricky Waters. The only guys that had like X number of rushing yards and X number of receiving yards and throughout the history of the league at one time.
Yeah, he was somebody that revolutionized. I mean, you know, you go Roger Craig before him, but I mean, he just passed the baton to Ricky Waters and he continued to do what he did in that Bill Walsh offense. All right, Sal, rookie minicamp. How the young pups looking? Your first glimpse of them today?
Yeah, I mean, you go out there and you try to kind of get a little bit of sense of what these guys are about, how they look. You know, they're not doing everything football and hitting each other. But some guys just jump off the page with their size, their athleticism. I mean, Landon Jackson, the defensive end, is just, he's massive. And, you know, you're seeing him on the edge there, and you're like, okay, like, that guy has a presence about him. He looks like an NFL dude. And then you watch Max Harrison, and I tweeted out a video, two of them, Max Harrison, his change of direction, flipping his hips, the way he can kind of, you know, just start and stop and accelerate. You can tell why he's a first-round pick. I mean, look, these are the best athletes in the world. And when you're talking about a guy who runs a sub-4.340 and being picked in the first round of the NFL draft, he should look different than everybody. So when you go out there and you see it, you're like, okay, now I totally understand and see why, you know, he was. And some of that definitely was out there today. Caden Prather, seventh-round wide receiver, doing a really good job today, catching the ball, getting open. But so was Jackson Hawes, who's, I don't think, going to catch many passes at all for the Bills, actually, in the regular season. He's a blocking tight end. It is important to remember. I mean, I tweeted out about Jackson Hawes and, you know, Caden Prather, and people, oh, yeah, these guys, they could be fines and steals. Fans want to be fans and absorb it. Let's remember, during rookie minicamp, these guys are going to get more opportunity than most guys because it's really the only chance for them to get all of those reps compared to when the veterans are with them. So you might as well start feeding them the ball and making sure that, you know, you can get all of that in before they can't get that anymore.
Sal, last one for me because, you know, before we know it, we'll be all back at camp at Fisher here. What's the camp battle in terms of, you know, jobs are you most interested in? Is it defensive line or something else?
It's corner for me. I don't think that Max Harrison is an automatic start. I mean, Kyrie Elam wasn't. And I don't want to compare Max Harrison to Kyrie Elam, but, you know, Christian Benford came in and he looked more like the first-round pick and Elam looked like the sixth-round pick. You just never know. I think what's going to happen is, going back to Tre'Davious White in that conversation, I think Tre'Davious White is going to put up a fight here. Now, I don't know about the injury, right? And I think that he's fine, because we saw him play last year in Baltimore, and he actually played. And I talked to a guy from Baltimore on the radio a couple weeks ago who said, yeah, Trey was fine. He wasn't horrible. He wasn't great, but he was fine. And I think if Tre'Davious White can just be a real good baseline floor for what the Bills are hoping to get out of a veteran, you know, I think he has a chance here. But Max Harrison's certainly going to get the runway. He's going to get the runway to win the job, but he's got to win it. They're not just going to hand it to him. And if not, you got Trey White sitting there like, okay, well, you turn to Trey White and you could do a lot worse than that as a starter, I think the Bills would feel. So that's there. I think Dane Jackson obviously is being a guy that kind of figures in there a little bit. But I think that's going to be an interesting spot. Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. Dorian Strong, Virginia Tech draft pick. Like, this guy looks like an outside NFL corner today. And, like, when you go out there, again, another guy, you're like, okay, like, you can see he's just different than other guys. So I think there's going to be a good battle there.
I know he's not a rookie, but he's compelling in my eyes because of his story into Buffalo. What are your thoughts on Forrest there in the secondary?
My thought is he's here to play a special teams role and be a backup safety in a pinch when they need him. I believe the Bills are all in on Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop.
Okay.
They have to show it. They have to prove it. Taylor Rapp for sure. I have this battle with fans all the time, because I think there's this notion from fans that Taylor Rapp is not a good football player. He's hurt a lot. Look, I know he's had some injuries. You can think that. No doubt. Like, whatever. Fans can have whatever opinion they want. Of course, anybody can. But I will tell you, from the Bills' perspective, they love Taylor Rapp. Like, he is their starting safety and the number one, because Sean McDermott basically said he's the Terrell Bernard of the secondary to us at the owners' meetings. Like, the way he sets the secondary, that is so valuable. So he's a starter. Cole Bishop's got to show and earn that job. And then to me, Damar Hamlin is, okay, fringe player. Is he going to make the roster, special teams, backup? He did start a lot last year, but they're not paying him a lot of money. And I think Derek Forrest is more of the, okay, special teams guy who can really bring it. And if we have to play, and you never know, maybe he gets to a spot where we need to put him on the field in some situations. You also have Cam Lewis and the new Jordan Hancock, who are kind of the same player, to be honest with you. They both play nickel. They both play safety. They'll figure out maybe which one belongs where. And maybe instead of Cam Lewis being a main backup nickel who can play safety, or a main safety who can play backup nickel, maybe you just leave him in one spot and Jordan Hancock does the other.
Sal, time flies. You know, next week will mark 2 years since you did your show here at the Fan Rochester Studio.
Oh, wow. Championship week.
Did that come up on your Facebook memories or something?
No, we're just talking about, like, okay, we're so provincial. You think you're provincial in Buffalo? No. We are the king of provincial here in Rochester, and we keep waiting for the next announcement of where, are we going to get this in 2033? And then we just look at the forecast here, and it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is going to be kind of something if it does come back in May. Always a little dicey here.
Well, maybe we'll have to do it again, sometime around training camp, or you never know, maybe before that. Come on up there and do another show from your studios and talk football.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger, Sal. Appreciate the time and all the work you're putting in at WGR. And, of course, it's always game day in Buffalo. An unbelievable listen with head coach Sean McDermott. Great job, bud.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to everybody out there.
You got it. Sal Capaccio, WGR. It's always game day in Buffalo, covering the Buffalo Bills. Sideline reporter for the Bills Radio Network as well. Some good insight there. I like what he said about safety. And the Taylor Rapp thing is funny to me. Like, you could say Rapp is injured often. You could say Rapp isn't that good. What I see with Rapp is just hustle. A guy that just throws himself into the play or will track down. So, you know, like he was single-handedly responsible for keeping points off the board in multiple games last year. And if you're Sean McDermott, you know that that's his catnip. You know that he loves that guy.
Can I translate the Today Show and their misstep here?
Go ahead.
They don't tease Josh Allen coming on the show unless they're 100% that Josh Allen is coming on the show. Can we agree on that?
It would be clumsy for them to tease something and then not deliver on the
tease. Correct. So you can book the guest. But that's different than teasing the guest. Does the NFL want it tipped that, hey, Josh Allen is going to reveal something coming up on Monday?
Yeah, right. So
that's the NFL saying, no. Shh.
Yeah, not the NFL's telling them to shut up.
Shush.
You can tease, but don't. What are you doing? That's supposed to be a surprise on Monday morning, right? Not only are we going to tell you who's kicking off on Thursday night, but here's Josh Allen to tell you about our Sunday night game. That's a big deal.
Boy, though.
That gets people talking.
Kansas City, if I had to rank them danger, I would put Kansas City 1, Baltimore just a half step behind, because just to get the two MVPs going head-to-head, and then Cincinnati. And I wouldn't be upset if it's Cincinnati.
I wouldn't be upset if it's Cincinnati, and I would prefer it to be Cincinnati for the sake of the Bills' schedule, because Cincinnati early in the season is bad and better for the Bills than Cincinnati later in the season. But I can make the same argument about the Chiefs. Like, I think the Chiefs, I just think the Chiefs would be a wildly entertaining game. And if you're the NFL and you want the biggest number possible week one and you want to be able to tout that big number in your primetime games, why wouldn't you do a rematch of the NFC Championship on Thursday and the AFC Championship on Sunday night?
They have opened with the Chiefs how many years? Like, I'd have to look up the last time the Chiefs were actually on the road. And they're going on the road, I would think, week one.
Yeah, for sure.
Send them to Buffalo.
That's your punishment for laying down in the Super Bowl. Hit the road, Kansas City. We're going to take a break. Happy hour is right around the corner. We have time for your calls, 866-4FAN. What about you?
Is Taylor Swift touring this summer?
Oh, boy.
No, I'm asking honestly.
I don't think so. Okay. I think she's counting her billions.
She's not coming back here, though, under any circumstance.
Maybe when the new stadium opens up.
I'm not holding my breath.
If he's still playing.
I doubt it.
866-4326. Who do you want to see the Bills? I mean, if this is to be believed, and there's going to be a big announcement for the schedule revolving around the Bills in week one on the Today Show on Monday, who's your options? Who do you want to see the Bills playing? And Bills rookie minicamp, we'll dissect some of what Sal had to share about that as well. Lots to get to here. Lots to unpack. Your calls are welcome at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.